Good to see each one of you out here this morning. Last week we started a new series, Burdened But Not Broken. And we had an introduction talking about afflictions and trials and hardships. And this morning we're going to have our, the first message of our series. And this will cover probably the next few months. We'll cover this subject and we'll be focusing on the life of David. When you look at David, you find a man who was greatly blessed, but a man who was also greatly burdened at times. A lot of troubles came into his life, a lot of difficulties and hardships. And as we look at his life, I think we'll be able to relate to many of those and understand that God may allow those into our life, but God can also bless us through those trials and afflictions. This morning, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 6. And as you're making your way there, the title of this message is The Burden of Repression. The burden of repression. Now, to repress means to restrain, to keep in check, or to prohibit. In other words, to hold someone back. Keep them where they are, not allow them to go forward. You know, for the most part, this burden is usually associated with youth. We got some young people here this morning. And young people are energetic, they're excited. And if you want to be young this morning, you're young. I'm not going to mention anyone's age, obviously. You're young in mind, you're young in heart, you're young. But when we're young, we want to conquer the world. And sometimes we think people are keeping us back. Or we believe that we're not allowed to go forward and a situation is preventing us from perhaps blessings that are awaiting us. Great deeds that we could be doing. And if we're not careful, we become discouraged. We can become resentful. Bitterness can come in. And we can have all sorts of problems because of the burden of repression. But this burden can also be found later in life. So if you're not young, you're still not off the hook this morning. Let me give you an example of this. When you don't get the position you believe you were qualified for. How about when you continue to be passed over when promotions come? Or when your friends and family do not involve you like they used to, or you think they should? Repression. And next thing you know, we can allow that to hinder our life and determine sometimes our conduct. Today we're going to look at an example from David's life, very early in life. Actually, it's pretty much the first time we run into David as far as the book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to see where the burden of repression, it presented itself. But we're also going to see that David was able to endure it. And with God's strength and living correctly, he was able to get through this. So 1 Samuel chapter 6, we're going to begin reading 1 Samuel chapter 6, 16, wrong chapter there, right book, wrong chapter, 1 Samuel 16, and it says there in verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. As we look further into this passage, I pray that you'll open up our hearts to your word. Help us to not only see the teachings, Lord, but if there's anything there that we can apply to our life, I pray that we not only see that, but also, Lord, we apply it immediately. Lord, I ask that you bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about the burden of repression and how we see David was able to really overcome this. Now, I'm going to just give you four thoughts on this from our passage. And the first one is David's personal life, his person, so to speak. David was unknown, just plain and simple. Up until this point, nobody knew of David. Nobody knew anything of David. His name meant nothing to anybody. He was just a young man out there working in the fields where his father had sent him. And nothing in his life indicated that he would be the king of Israel. You know, sometimes we see young people stand out. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's good. Sometimes we see some achievements. You know, maybe they make a great discovery. Maybe they have an invention of some sort. Maybe they have some abilities that we look upon and say, you know, they've been gifted. Music, athletically, intelligence. We just say, you know, there's some skills there. That doesn't seem to be the case with David. There was nothing here that stood out as far as David was concerned. Nobody would have picked him to be the next king. And I think this is evidenced in the fact that Jesse left him in the fields and didn't even bring him in. And none of his brothers even thought about asking David to come. There was nothing there that indicated that God would bless him in a great way. Even Samuel was unaware of David's existence until Jesse told him he had another son. So even Samuel knew nothing of David. Here David was living in obscurity. He remained unknown. He remained unknown. You know, worldly speaking, he had no chance to be exalted. And I'm speaking of the world, of course, because we know with God all things are possible, as we'll see. But as far as the world was concerned, David had no chance to be exalted. Nobody would have picked him, and nobody would have walked through the field one day and said, you know, that's going to be the next king of Israel. That's going to be a great leader. That's going to be a great warrior. That's going to be the man that the Israelites look back upon. He's going to establish a kingdom that for eternity, until the Lord returns, the Jews will say, we want that kingdom again. A great nation. Nobody would have said that about David. He was so far from where the action was, I don't even think he was aware of any action. He was just out in the fields, living his life as he thought he should live his life. Now, nobody knew that a king would be chosen from those fields. Nobody knew that a shepherd boy would become the man that God had to bless not only the nation, but also that we read about even today. You know, here's a thought I'll give to you on this. Sometimes, because there is little or no activity around us, we assume nothing is happening. Have you ever been that way? You're at work. Yeah, I say, what are you going to do tomorrow? Same thing I did Friday. Same thing I did last week. Just get up and get going. That's about it. And sometimes the monotony of life, we can begin to assume that nothing is happening around us. Now, I don't know if David thought this, but I tell you what, David just went out in the field that day, lived a humble life. He probably planned to continue right where he was. I don't think he planned to go do any great deeds. I imagine he was going to stay there with the family and carry on the work that God had for him there. But God was working on his behalf, even though David was unaware of that. Now think about that for a moment. Just let that sink in for a few minutes. David did not even know God was working at this point. David was unaware of God's plans, of God's future, of God's work in his life. David had no idea. I imagine if you would ask David, he wouldn't have said, I'm going to be the next king of Israel. I imagine he had no plans on this. But God was working in his life, and God was working on his behalf behind the scenes. You know, this morning, if we knew how much God worked behind the scenes, I think we'd be amazed. I really do. I think if God could remove the veil, so to speak, for a moment, and let us see all the work He does behind the scenes, all the work that He does through situations and through people, no matter if they're saved or lost, God is in charge of this entire world. I imagine we would just be amazed of all that He does. I imagine we would be in awe of all the times that He protected us. We didn't even know there was a trial coming, a hardship or a difficulty. I imagine there'd be times we would just be in awe of the Lord, the blessings He had planned for us years back. We didn't even know we needed those blessings until they arrived, and God knew all along that we'd need those. You see, David was being blessed and he didn't even know it. You see, this morning, much of God's work remains unknown to us. It really does. What we have, here's what we have. We have the Bible. So I encourage you to read it. Study the Word of God. What we have is God's revealed will right here. Genesis to Revelation. We know about God. We know what He expects. We know what He has done for us. He tells us some of the things He is doing right now as far as His work. And some of the future, He gives us a little bit of that. So we do have God's revealed will right here in His Word. But outside of this, everything else, I'll just say it, it's speculation. I don't care how well someone can write a book. If it's not in God's Word, it's pure speculation. It can be an idea, it can be an opinion, and as a pastor, I try to let you know when I'm speculating or when I'm saying my opinion. Because outside of God's Word, that's all it is. It's our thoughts, our ideas, what we think might be right. And it's not God's Word. You know, this morning, we need to live by faith and look to God. That's what we need to do. Trust Him to work when we don't know the answers, when we don't know the future or how He's going to work things out. We just need to put our faith in God. You see, it's important just to trust Him in all areas of our life. Now, the burden of repression did not take hold of David, I think, because he lived for the Lord. We know many of the Psalms were written while he was out in the fields as a shepherd. I believe while he was living in obscurity, instead of complaining, griping that he couldn't be part of some sort of action or be elevated, I believe he was just praising God for his life, and he was growing closer to the Lord. So we find David out there, his person, unknown. Now secondly, how about his position? Let's go back. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and notice where he was. We have here a great event taking place. And we find David, as it tells us, Samuel didn't know about this at the beginning, but he had to find out later. We're back in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And when no son or no one was chosen to be king, they asked where David was. Said, "Do you have another child?" And he says, "Yes." And it says here in verse 11, he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." Now let's think about David's location for a minute. This is his position in life, his location. Only his family, himself of course, David, and the Lord knew where he could be found. But that did not prevent the Lord from finding him. You know, this morning the Lord does not need a GPS to find you. He knows exactly where you are at all times. And if he wants to bless you, he can bless you. So don't get discouraged thinking the Lord has misplaced you or forgotten you. He knows where you are. Live by faith. You know, Samuel did not have everything revealed to him. All Samuel was told, we go back, 1 Samuel 16, go back and notice what it says. And it says in verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." That's it. Samuel was not given a name. Samuel was not given the person. All Samuel was told was, "Go to Bethlehem, and there amongst Jesse's sons you're going to find the next king. That's my plan." So Samuel took off, faithful. Now, he did struggle a little bit. You read that passage. He had some doubts. He had some fears. But he went. He eventually went. He was faithful. And God blessed. And God brought him here. And we find that, of course, he didn't find David immediately. David is sitting out in the fields where they left him. You know, as far as David was concerned, he was where he was supposed to be. You know, there's a lot to be said for being where you're supposed to be. There is. Friday night, be where you're supposed to be. There's a lot to be said of being in the right place at the right time. David was out in the fields where he was supposed to be. He wasn't out wandering, taking a little vacation. He was working where his dad had sent him. He wasn't rebellious, saying, "I'm going to stay here because I know something's going on. I'm aware there's something happening, so I want to stay and sneak back in and see what's going on." He was where he was supposed to be. And don't doubt for a moment that God knew this. That God was aware that this was the man he was going to call. And he knew that this was a faithful man. A man who loved him and a man who was obedient. And that's where we find David, out in the fields where his father had sent him, an act of obedience. And there the Bible tells us he remained with the sheep. He worked. He worked. It was difficult work. It was dirty work. And he stayed out there and he worked with the sheep while his other brothers remained home. As we'll see here in a minute, they had a reason to remain home, and more than likely David was unaware of it until later. So David did what he was supposed to do, not necessarily what he wanted to do. How many of you do that sometimes? You have to do what you want to do. Maybe tomorrow morning when you wake up, 6 o'clock, you're going to do what you have to do, not necessarily what you want to do on Monday morning. Responsibility. David was a very responsible man. Now this morning, don't believe that the Lord will forget you while you're faithful. Remain faithful. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 20, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." You know, you remain faithful to God, He will be faithful to you. He'll bless you for your efforts. Now, the world had no plans for this young man. You ever think of that? The world had no plans for him. Nobody was going to pick him to be the great leader, great warrior, and everything that he would do. His family did not even believe he would do anything of importance, much less become king. They had no interest in David. But this morning, it matters not what others think of us. Right? It matters not what others think of us. Everyone's going to have an opinion of you. I guarantee it. Everyone's going to have an opinion of you. Even if it's just from meeting you one time, they're going to make an opinion. They're going to make a judgment based upon the meeting. Everyone's going to have an opinion on, but it matters not what others think of us. What matters is what God thinks of us. If we're right with God. If we have a heart after God. If we're living for the Lord. That's what David had. Now, David's life right now, at this point, it really was insignificant. We find David to be small, so to speak, in the eyes of the world. Nothing really in his future. Nothing in the past to brag about. Nothing at the moment except out there working. However, God knew David's heart and he planned to bless him. You know, this morning the Lord is able to lift any one of us out of obscurity if He would choose to. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, I want to encourage you, even in your career, be careful of making your career your life. Be careful of only having the goal of advancing forward and becoming, I guess you say, successful. Now, there's nothing wrong with working hard and success, but if you make that your life, I tell you what, not only are you going to be disappointed in the long run, but you're going to have a lot of troubles along the way. We should look to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." This morning, we're to humble ourselves before the Lord and allow Him to work. Well, how does that fit into work, Pastor? Some of you say. How does that fit in with my career? Here's how it fits in. You be faithful. You work hard. You be diligent. You do your best. And if a promotion comes up and you prayed over it and you have peace in your heart to put in for it and to go for it, then do it. And if the Lord allows and blesses you and you get that promotion, you get that new position, then praise God and give Him the glory. But if He doesn't, and you are rejected or turned down or someone else gets it, don't become discouraged. God has a plan for your life. Don't, I guess you say, go to the worldly methods to get it. And that happens. Even believers can be tempted to do that. Begin to act like the world to get further ahead in this world. No, let God take care of that. If God doesn't want you up there, it's best to be where God wants you. You know, this morning, that's where David found himself. And I want to say that there's nothing wrong with obscurity. Sometimes I think we get that impression that there's something wrong with obscurity, something wrong with not everybody knowing us or knowing about us. There's nothing wrong with obscurity if that's where God wants you. You know, being in the limelight may be nice, but you know the light also attracts all sorts of bugs. It does. And think about popularity and being in the limelight. There would be more responsibility for David, and God would bless him, but he was going to have more responsibility. He was going to face greater temptations than he probably even imagined, and he would have more tests. You see, being in the limelight, it's not always what it's cracked up to be. It's best to be where God wants you. Now, if God has left you in obscurity, I met someone once say, you know, the only people that know about me is my family, my friends. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. If God has left you there, then guess what? Praise God, that's a blessing. You know what I think is interesting when you read the life of David? We find that David was closer to God when he was in the valley, so to speak, than he was when he was on the mountaintops. When he was on the mountaintops, everything was going great, is when he struggled with temptation and troubles and trials. When he was in the valleys is when he got close to God. You know, the Lord may allow us to remain obscure at times or allow us to face those difficulties just to draw us nearer to Him so we can have a closer relationship with the Lord. So this morning, the burden of repression did not take hold because David, I think, was content with his life. Paul said he had to learn to be content. It's difficult to be content, to be thankful where God has placed you and what God has given you. Let me give you an illustration on this. There's a story about a pilot flying over the Appalachians. And every time he'd fly over the Appalachians, he'd look down when he got to a certain valley. He'd look down there. And he'd look for several minutes as they'd go over the valley, and then he'd continue on. Well, one day, his co-pilot, who'd flown with him several times, noticed it again. And as they went over the valley, he looked over. He said, "Sir," he said, "what's so interesting about that spot? I've noticed you look down every time we cross it." And the pilot smiled. He goes, "You see that stream down there?" And he pointed to the stream. "When I was a kid," he said, "I used to sit down there on a log and I'd fish." And he goes, "And every time I'd see a plane go overhead, I wished I was flying in that plane." He said, "Now every time I cross that valley, I wish I were fishing." Content. Always looking at something else. You know, this morning, we just need to be content with what God has given and what God has allowed us to have. You know, with David, we don't find any griping out in the field. Like I said, we find he wrote many psalms of praise to God during that time. We don't find any griping, complaining. We just find a faithful man. You know, Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I think that's the heart David had, and that's the heart we need as we live for the Lord. Here's the third thought, David's promotion. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 16. Let's look at his promotion now. It says, we've read it, verse 10. It says, "Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel said unto Jesse, 'The Lord hath not chosen these.'" And then he goes on to verse 11, asks Jesse, he says, Hear all thy children, he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So David remained in the fields. This is his promotion now. He remained in the fields while his brothers stood before Samuel. This is different, I think, than being unknown. We talked about being unknown. I think we find David being ignored or forgotten. Have you ever went through that? You've been ignored? Forgotten? David was basically looked over. He was. He was not even allowed to partake. Think of this. Samuel arrived, and what did Samuel do immediately? They had a religious service. There was a sacrifice that took place. And you realize that David was not allowed to partake in that sacrifice. He was left out in the field. Now think about this for a moment. He's one of the sons. He's not a servant. He's one of Jesse's sons, and he was not invited to come in for this opportunity. Nobody seemed to care that David was missing. Have you ever felt like that way in life? Nobody seemed to care that he was missing. Nobody asked if David should be called. Each one of them just stood in front of Samuel. We don't find any of them saying, hey, you think we should give David a call? Nobody even covered for David. There were no servant was sent to cover for David. What we have is David remained with the sheep while his brothers stood before Samuel. And the Bible tells us that Samuel was certain that the first one was chosen to be king. Now, to give a little bit of, I guess, first we'll try to give a little bit of good light on Samuel. He didn't have all the information. He didn't know, so we'll give him a little bit of credit. He didn't know. But here's the problem. He did the same thing that Israel had done in the past. He based his decision upon what he could see. He looked upon Eliab and he said, this is the king. This is the next king. Maybe Eliab was big and strong and had been an experienced not only worker, but maybe in battle. And he said, this is him. And so he made an assumption based upon what he could see. Now this got Israel in trouble. That's the reason why they had a king who, I guess you say, led after the world, because they picked a king like the world, Saul, and it got him in trouble. You know, this morning, I'll tell you this, appearance is a terrible criteria for making a decision. And a lot of times we make decisions based upon what we see. Do we not? Do we make a decision when someone comes through the doors or we meet someone? We base it upon what we see, immediate. It's just making it upon what our eyes can see. Now, that's limited in scope is what it is, first off. You make a decision on that, it's limited in scope. It factors in only what you can see. It takes no consideration of anything else. That'd be like buying a house without examining the inside. I mean, you ever done that? I never have. I don't plan on it. It just makes no sense, but we do it all the time. That's what Samuel did. On top of this, I want to remind you that the devil is the master of appearances and deception. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. You see, the devil is the master of appearances and disguise and deception. So we shouldn't make our decisions based upon appearance. We should look a little deeper. Now Samuel made a mistake, and the Lord reminded him of this. We've read it here earlier. Samuel made the mistake in verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord, he says, looketh upon the heart. You know, the Lord reminded Samuel that he's able to look a little deeper than what Samuel was able to look upon the heart. This morning, the Lord knows your heart. Each one of you. Right now, He's able to look upon your heart. I'm going to give you a few questions on that. How is your heart right now? You ever thought about that? Is it a wicked heart? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have a deceitful heart. Here's the next question. Has it been purified? Has it been cleansed and regenerated by the Spirit? Titus 3, verse 5 tells us that's the work of the Spirit. Turn with me if you would. Or just follow along if you're taking notes. Titus chapter 3, I'll read you verse 5. He says here, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, we're not saved by anything but the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we find here. And this morning, how is your heart? You see, that's a question we can all ask ourselves. Is it a heart that loves God? Or is it a heart that still lingers and longs for the things of the world? You see, each one of these men passed before Samuel, and Samuel looked on the outside, and God looked upon the heart, and God said, it's not him. Each one passed before God. And finally, they had to call for the insignificant one. Think about that. Well, he's not going to be king. And then all of them passed before Samuel. The one nobody thought to call in, the one everybody forgot about, the one that was set aside, the one that was forgotten, that's the one God wanted. Notice Jesse's answer. We go back to 1 Samuel 16. When Samuel looks at Jesse, he says, Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. You know, here's some thoughts that I see here. First, Jesse does not seem too pleased with David as the choice. And here's why I say this. He didn't volunteer David, ever. Even when all his other sons passed before Samuel, Jesse said nothing about David. He didn't say, well, I got one more. Let me go get him. Who was the one that brought up David? And it was Samuel. He didn't even know about David. But he looks and he says, he's confused. God has not chosen any of these men. He says, you got another son? He probably thought, it's a ridiculous question. He'd be here. But do you have another one by chance? And Jesse, now after the question comes, says, oh, yes, I do. I do have another son. He's out in the fields. And then notice some of the comments he made. He says he's the youngest. He says he's but his youth. It says here, the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. So he's the youngest. Probably, here's my thought on this. I believed he probably thought David was immature at this point. It's believed David is probably around 17 years old. He probably thought David was immature. He probably thought David was not prepared and he was not ready to be the next king of Israel. But you know, here's what Jesse didn't take into consideration. First, of course, his heart. He didn't know David's heart. He didn't know God's plan. He didn't know that David would not assume the throne immediately, but there'd be a time of preparation and that God would get him ready. You see, this morning, even Jesse was unable to look upon the heart of his son. You know, this morning as parents, I want to give you a warning, parents. You're not able to look upon the hearts of your children either. We can be deceived by our children. And that's happened through the years. Raise your children after the Lord and trust Him to lead them correctly. You know, if God has given them skills and abilities and talents, then let them go. Of course, raise them after God, but if God has a career for them, let God take them and use them. That's what happened here. I think Jesse probably planned on David being out in the field forever, taking care of the sheep and working, but God said, no, he's going to be my king. That's what I want him for. So we find here that David finally arrived. And I'm going to just make some comments here. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail of what happened. It says there in verse 12, he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Now this morning, I think this is where it becomes interesting as far as the burden of repression. That's our subject this morning. We need to remember that they were real people. I think we can forget that sometimes when we read the Bible. They had passions like us. They hurt like us. They were tempted like we are. And they were real. Now here you have David. He came off the field. At some point, now this is just some thoughts here I'm going to give to you. At some point, he had to realize that he was the last one to the party. Have you ever thought about that? As he's coming off the field, I don't know if he was given time to clean up and then do, because it was a sacrifice, it was a meal, or if they just rushed him in. But at some time, I'm sure he put two and two together and he realized it made four. I've been out in the fields and all my brothers have been here. And as he's coming into town, I imagine he also began to realize, hey, you probably smelled the sacrifice. There's a sacrifice taking place. My brothers are all here. They're all dressed. They're ready for this ceremony. And here's Samuel, the prophet. Now, we know, according to the book of 1 Samuel, that he was a known man throughout the land. And here comes David, and he looks, and Samuel's there. I imagine at some point he realized that something was going on. And he may have even asked. I've thought about this a little bit. I wonder if he looked at one of his brothers and said, what's going on? What's happening? Because there's no indication he knew what was taking place. Actually, it's opposite. Samuel arrived. Jesse didn't even know that the son was going to be taken as king until Samuel arrived and told him. So David, out in the fields, was not aware of what was happening. He arrives. Imagine if he looked over at one of his brothers and said, what's going on? I see his brother saying, hey, Samuel's here. God's going to choose the next king, and it's going to be one of us. David probably thought, wow, Maybe he looked at his brother and said, let's get this going. Can you imagine what would happen when his brother said, we already did? When you're out in the field, we already started this process. And it's not any of us, that's why we called you. Now, let's think about this. This is where being repressed can produce problems. Let's make this real this morning. What I mean by that, let's make it practical. David very easily could have said, why didn't I know about this? How many of you uttered those words before? Why didn't I know about this? That's pride. David easily could have said, why wasn't I invited? He could have been selfish. You see, this often leads to resentment, bitterness, and discouragement. You know what David could have done? He could have marched off. Some of you may have seen it before. He could have marched off and he could have said, well, if you don't want me here, I don't want to be here. That happens at family reunions sometimes. That happens in church sometimes. You don't want me here, I'm gone. David even could have refused. Here's another one. He could have said, you know what, since I wasn't the first choice, I'm not going to do it. We've all heard that before. Now, we like to say it's our children who say that, but I've heard adults say or imply that before. Since you didn't pick me first, or since I'm not the first choice, and I don't want to do it, I just leave that up to someone else. He could have been stubborn. He could have said this. He could have said, fine, I'll do it, but not because I want to. We've been there before, too. And here's another one. He could have been vengeful. David could have looked and said, all right, you guys just wait till I'm the king. Right? Let's be honest. When someone represses us or someone leaves us out or ignores us, the temptation will arise to, in some way, ignore them later on. You don't think so? Look at Facebook. How many times people unfriending everybody on Facebook just to friend them back again? It happens all the time, all over in this world. You see, when we are left out, it can become a burden in our life. You see, praise the Lord. Here's what I'm going to praise the Lord about. None of these were found on that day. This young man, David, 17 years old, submitted to God's will. We don't find a vengeful heart. We don't find anger. I believe we find a man who was just thrilled that God would bless him in such a way. And that's what we find here. See, the burden of oppression did not take hold because David, I think, realized God had a plan for his life. He was going to be the next king. End of discussion. Think about that. He didn't have nothing to complain about. He's going to be the next king. You know, this morning, I believe David was more concerned with God's plan for his life than people's opinions or ideas. As believers, that's what we need to get to. We need to be more concerned with what God has for us than what other people think of us. We need to be more concerned with where God's going to lead us than what other people are saying about us. You see, we need to be faithful to God and His Word, no matter what. And that's what we find here with David. You know, nothing can thwart God's plans. Think about that for a minute. Those that purposely try to change God's plans will fail. You find it all the way through the Scriptures, and I believe you can find it through history as well. Those that have tried to change God's plans have failed, and those that do it in ignorance, that happens. Think of the Apostle Paul. I tell you, a religious man, no doubt he was zealous for God, persecuted the church, but he thought he was doing it in the name of God. He did it in ignorance, is what he did. But he was unsuccessful. You see, this morning, God will not only keep His Word, but anything He has planned will come to pass. Because He's God. And here's how that can help us. You belong to God. God has a plan for your life. I don't know what it is. I don't know where God's going to lead you tomorrow or next week or even, you know, a year from now. Many of you have never met until this morning. But I do know God knows the plan He has for your life. Where He's going to lead you, where He's going to take you. And we just need to be faithful. Because the same God that was in control of David's life is the same God that's in control of our life as well. Fourth thought real quick. How about David's progress? This is going to wrap it up here for us this morning. Notice in verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. David, from that day forward, so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, you know what we don't find? We don't find the next verse saying, and then David rose up, went to Jerusalem, and became king. Let's talk about his progress for a minute. Normally, promotions take effect somewhat soon. Within weeks, maybe months. If it's a year, they try to tell you, well, we're going to work you into this position. And promotions usually take effect somewhat soon. In David's case, it would be 22 years before he would assume the throne. How would you react if your boss called you in tomorrow and said, I'm going to give you a promotion, but it's not going to take effect till 20 years? He said, well, thanks. don't know if I'll be here in 20 years. You see, David had to wait for God to bless. You know, this morning, I think it's good to remember that God will answer our prayers in His time. You know, when prayers remain unanswered, or we have desires of the heart that we want to do things and we're just not allowed to, we can be tempted to complain, to gripe, grumble, all the other adjectives that go with that, and just get discouraged, thinking that God's not working in our life and He's not going to bless us. Up until this point, it appears David returned to his responsibilities as shepherd. Later he'd find himself in the palace, but that was working for King Saul. So he went back to the field as a shepherd, and he would wait for God to bless. You know, often we're required to wait before God blesses. We have to wait sometimes in our career. We have to wait sometimes, you know, you ask God for direction in a matter, He may not answer that prayer within a few minutes. You may have to wait. You may have to wait for the Lord to provide. You just got to wait on Him. Now, David would be blessed in God's time, not his. You ever thought about that? God would bless him when God was ready to bless him. And that's when I think the burden can become heavy. Think about this. It's tempting to become impatient. I'm impatient. I'll just be honest with you. I'm thankful that I live in this generation. You know, I think of all the luxuries we have. It's a blessing. I couldn't imagine, you know, some of the things that others have had to deal with. You know, we want things to occur now. So we struggle to wait and become discouraged. Now, I think it's a real burden today because we're used to instant gratification, right? Let me give you some thoughts on this. Speed limits go up all the time. Why drive 65 if you can go 70? Now, I know all of you go the speed limit. I know everyone here does. And so do I. So do I, right? How about this? You can order your food and it'll be ready before you sit down. I don't know if that's good or not, to be honest with you. Instant gratification. Information is at our fingertips. There's some of you right now. In a matter of seconds, you could find information on anything. You got a phone, a tablet, something. We have instant gratification. So, if we're not careful, now there's nothing wrong with any of those necessarily, but if we're not careful, we can expect that from God. Right? We can. We can expect God to have to answer His prayers no different than when we get online. We get on Google, we search for it, we get the answer. We expect God to answer just like that if we're not careful because of the instant gratification that we have all around us. You see, sometimes God will demand for us to wait. And He'll give His answer when He chooses to. And He'll work in His time and not our time. You can't hurry up the Lord. So it's best to wait. Nobody can hurry Him up. He'll answer when He's ready to answer. So it's best just to wait upon Him. You know, this is when we are tempted to believe that we may be out of God's will or His favor. I've been there. Not receiving an answer from God, so I begin to think, well, maybe I'm out of His will. Maybe I'm out of His favor. Well, I want to encourage you to do this. Do examine your heart. If there's sin to be found, then confess it. But if you look at your life, and you know what? You're living for God, walking with the Lord, then just wait on the Lord. Allow Him to work. And allow Him to be a blessing in your life. You know, this morning, this is where the burden of repression did not take hold of David. And this is something we'll see over the next few months. Because David learned to wait on God. That's what he learned to do. I think that was part of his preparation to be king of Israel. He had to learn to wait on God to bless in His time. Psalm 27, David wrote this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, that's good advice today for all of us. Wait on the Lord. He's faithful, and He'll be faithful to us. You know, this morning, I want to wrap this up. David, repressed. Nobody would have chosen him to be king. Nobody expected him to be king. He was not put out there to be king, but God had a plan for his life. You know, it matters not what others think of you, but what God does. And here's the first thought I'll give to you in closing. God thought enough to send His Son to die for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, I really believe that covers the entire world. That's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world. It covers you this morning. God has loved you enough to send His Son to die for your sin, to die in your place. Now, obviously, not everyone's going to be saved. That's a choice between you and God. I've had several ask me before as a pastor, how come people, why, you know, people just don't trust. The only answer I have is I don't know. I know I trusted in Christ, I know that. But why others don't, that's between them and God. It could be pride, it could be selfishness, it could be doubt, it could be disbelief, whatever it is. But God has provided a son, he's provided salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. So today, you can be saved. The Bible teaches that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a question of, I might be saved or I'm going to be saved. You shall be saved. Repent of your sin and believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. And after you're saved, like we find with David, after you're saved, then guess what? You have a God who will guide you. You have a God who will direct you. You'll have a God who will provide for you. You know, before you're saved, and this may sound harsh, but I believe it's biblical. Before you're saved, you're at odds against God. And right now, anyone here who's without Christ, and Christ made it clear, those that are not with me are against me. There's no middle ground. It's not just, well, I think I'll be with God, or I think I'm with God right now. We don't find any middle ground in the Bible concerning that subject. If you're not with him, you're against him, plain and simple. And this morning, sitting in the seat you're sitting in right now, it's one or the other. I don't know which it is. I can't see upon your heart, but God can. And whichever one it is, if you should die right now, that will determine your eternity. So this morning, I encourage you to repent of your sin, trust in Christ as your Savior. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And as he did for David, he'll direct your steps. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for the blessings provided. I thank you for this portion of Scripture which we've looked at and we've seen David and the example that he has left us. Being able to look towards you instead of the trouble that he had faced or the repression that was there. Lord, I pray this morning as we have this time of invitation, if you've worked in anyone's heart here, I pray they'll get